Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you and give you gratitude this morning. Lord, we thank you for just the fellowship we have with each other, the time of fellowship we have in worship, Father. Just giving you praise and honor and glory. Forever, Lord, we will praise you as the Lord our God. What an awesome thing to just to know that truth, Lord, that, that is what our future holds. We will always be gathered around your throne for eternity, Lord. We will be in your presence, Lord, worshiping you. Father, we look forward to that day, Father. Thank you, Lord, that is our future. Father, right now, Lord, we live in the midst of sin, a broken, corrupted, evil world. And Father, we know that in the midst of all we face, you are our Lord. So, Father, I pray this morning that our hearts and minds be receptive, open to listening to what your Spirit has to say, Father, listening to the truth of your words, Lord, Father, that we would put it into practice and walk in obedience, Father, that we would find put all our trust and hope in you, Father. Be with us, God, in our name, Spirit, and Jesus. Last week, we learned about the joy of the Lord and how real joy, I'm talking about us, temporary happiness. Real joy transcends our circumstances because real joy is found in Christ alone. The Lord is the source of true and everlasting joy. Joy of the Lord that He places deep within our inner spiritual being. Habakkuk gave us this wonderful example of the pathway of joy. Learning that in all circumstances we must seek the Lord first above all else. We must honestly admit the problems we're facing. Talking to God about what's going on in our lives and how it makes us feel. Asking Him questions about things we don't understand. But we don't stop there. Next week, then allow Him to talk to us through His Word by spending time reading and studying and meditating on His Word. That's how God communicates to us. And as He speaks through His Word, as He gives us instructions and commands to follow, hope for the future, promises to trust in His plans and purposes, we then listen carefully. We listen carefully. Finally, we receive what He's giving us and we walk in obedience to Him. And this leads to a heart overflowing with joy, even in the midst of hard times or unprecedented times. We also had the goal to memorize a few Bible verses, if you remember from last week, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, where it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Just memorize having that stored in your heart so that when you face times of uncertainty and hard decisions that you need to make, you can think about it. Think about it. Think what the Lord is giving you how to do. It's not like you're going to bump into stuff in your own strength. He's given you power, the Spirit that lives in you, so that you can rejoice on, so that you can seek Him without ceasing, so that you can give thanks in every single circumstance, no matter how tough it is. Today, we're going to continue learning more about what it looks like to seek the Lord in the midst of various trials, unforeseen circumstances that we find ourselves in from time to time. We're going to learn here from this passage that there's hope even when we cannot see. We're going to be back in Psalm 119 today. We're in verses 81 to 88. If you have a Bible, open up the Psalm there. If you look at your Bible, Psalm 119, 81 to 88. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. Open up the Psalm. Throughout this Psalm, we've been part of this, but throughout this Psalm, we've seen how the Psalm is just pulling us in to how difficult his situation is and all that he's facing and where he finds his strength. The first thing you're going to learn from the psalmist here is to recognize your need for God's help. Let's look there at verses 81 and 83. "My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your words. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a lion-skin who spoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes." Look at how the psalmist describes his situation. He starts off talking about the desperate need he has for the Lord. This man is in a desperate situation. He's he's disliked and opposed by many. And in their persecution of him, they mocked him. They spread false information about him. They tried to spear his reputation. And he has seen that his very life is in danger. And so from his statement in verse 31, we can see that he's overwhelmed. He longs from his soul for God to step in and save him, to rescue his life from what seems to be certain ruin. He's in a bad way. But in the midst of this, most importantly, he recognizes that God is the only one who can help him. When we are in the midst of hard times, do we truly recognize that God is our only hope? Our only hope of rescue? Or do we first rely on something else? Ourselves? Our finances? Our resourcefulness? Other people? Dr. Jay Ames states, no, you do not know that God is all you need, for God is all you have. I've been around believers who were suppressed and persecuted by the government, persecuted by those in their society, they had nothing material to speak of, and no hope, really no hope for a better future financially. Yet I found sometimes that their faith and trust in the Lord was far greater than mine. All they had was God. He was sufficient in every way for all they need. But because of the many blessings of God that we enjoy, we tend to rely on the blessings we have instead of Him, the giver of those things. Look at how the psalmist responds in the midst of his soul wrenching plea for God's help. He says, my soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. He longs for God to rescue him, but he's put his trust in God and his word. His hope is in God's truth, his spoken word that gives us understanding about life, the world we live in, the future that he has for us. It is God's word, the foundation of your hope. Because the psalmist here, his foundation is God's word. Is that the foundation for your hope? Or are you hoping in something else? Are you expecting something else to rescue you or help you? He then said in verse 82, my eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you come? He said he's growing weary. He's totally worn out because the promises of God that he is waiting for, they've not come past. He's desperate. In his despair, he asks God the question that probably many of you have asked, right? When is this promise going to be fulfilled? Yet he's looking to God alone for help, and he recognizes that if help does not come from God, then it will not come at all. He has total dependence on God and his plan for his life. I love what Charles Spurgeon says about this. Listen to what he says. He says, this experience of waiting and fainting is well known by full-grown saints, and it teaches them many precious lessons which they would never learn by any other means. We can trust God fully in these times because we know that God has our best in mind. The psalmist in verse 83 states that he's dried up like a wineskin that's been smoked. As the dried up wineskin, it's like the flames of persecution have left him useless, completely worn out. Yet again he responds, but again I have not forgotten your statutes. In other words, he's saying, even though I don't understand why all this is happening to me, even though I don't know when I'll be free of it, I continue to put my faith in God's word till the end, no matter how difficult my situation is. He recognizes that God is faithful, and only God can give him the help that he needs. Therefore, he keeps his eyes focused on God's word, meaning he keeps living according to God's word, no matter how tough it may be, no matter how others around him may treat him, or how terrible it may be, he's focused on living according to God's word. See, when we're faced with difficult times, so difficult that we doubt and we ask questions of why and when, in the midst of all that, we must continue to recognize and admit our need for God's help. You see, asking questions of God and having faith in God go hand in hand. Your questions for greater understanding should not take away from your faith and trust being in God alone. Do you truly recognize your need for God's help? Do your actions during difficult circumstances, or even throughout your normal daily routine, just does it reveal that God is the first one you seek for help? During various trials, do you look to God's word for hope? If not, where do you look for help? What is your hope truly set on? The next thing we learn here is we must share the concerns of our heart with God. Look at verses 84 and 87. How long must you serve and endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commands are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They've almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken you. The psalmist here lays out the specifics about his situation. He opens up to God with the deep concerns of his heart. Even in all of his faithfulness to God and his word, his situation has brought him to a place of some kind of disappointment, confusion. He's hurting, he's in pain, he's struggling mentally. But knowing God, knowing who he is, knowing that he is that perfect father, unlike earthly fathers, that he cares deeply for you. So extraordinary is his love for us that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you and I. Therefore, I can imagine how carefully and compassionately God listens to our cries for help. That he wants to comfort us, just like he did with the psalmist here in this passage. Even Jesus, when he was here in the flesh, God in the flesh, he gave us this example many times as he interacted with those in need. As he, showed this great compassion and love for people who were treated poorly. The psalmist bears his soul before God in these questions. These things sound familiar. Listen to what he says. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have pitfalls for me. They did not live according to your law. They persecuted me with falsehood about me. He's leaving nothing in his heart hidden before God. Now, of course, God knows what's in his heart. But the God who has created us and knows our nature perfectly, he wants us to communicate our struggles to him. He wants you to talk to him. No matter how small or how big it may be, he wants to see our dependence in him alone. Showing that we trust him not only to listen to us, but that he is our only hope. As it states in verse 3 to 5, 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. These are legit questions. How will I answer? When will justice be given? They don't play by the same rules. They're full of falsehood. They lay before me not a single trap, a newer trap. That's why we're here in pitfall this world. But notice that he doesn't take things into his own hands. I want you to see that. He doesn't try to get vengeance on his enemy. Oh, I'll show you what. I'll show you. He's not doing that. He leaves all that up to God. For God says, vengeance is mine, I will pay, says the Lord. Romans 12:19. He totally depends on God's help and his supernatural intervention to make right what is wrong. To give sustain him through all of these things. Again, in the midst of these questions and concerns, we see his faithfulness to God, his word. Look at it in verse 86. All your commandments are sure. Meaning he knows that God's word is true. It is sure. It is trustworthy. It is inerrant. It is infallible. He fights against the overwhelming odds that are stacked against him by seeking the Lord and trusting in his word. Charles Spurgeon states, no other help is sufficient, but God's help is all sufficient, so we cast ourselves upon it without fear. God wants to help us and sustain us throughout our lives. He has provided everything needed to do so. Lean into him and receive his sufficiency. Don't try to go it alone. Don't trust in anything else. You'll notice here in verse 87 that he life just seemed, it just seemed to be hanging in the balance. But again, his faith and trust shine through in his unchanging circumstances. Nothing's changed. He says, but I am not ashamed of the crucifix. In other words, even though my circumstances are overwhelming, I'm not going to abandon the word. I'm not going to abandon the truth. He will continue living his life according to God's word, which is one of the main reasons he's receiving this persecution and hardships. As we read Psalm 119, he's being faithful to the Lord, he's being persecuted because of it. And yet he wants to stay faithful. He's not going to respond like those in the world respond and do not know Christ. He's not going to respond that way. He's not going to stoop to that level of immorality. He's going to stay focused on God's word and live by his word. The Christian life is a battleground where we wage war every single day for the souls of men and women and children. It's not a vacation where we seek out the supposed idea that we can somehow have anything our own. No matter how careful we may live, how hard we may try to put life together perfectly, or amass a certain amount of wealth to make us feel secure, even the work that we put into staying healthy, somehow this sinful, broken world works against us and brings into our life struggle and pain and suffering. James 4:14 states, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and vanishes. As followers of Christ, this is not our home. We are sojourners, awaiting our home in heaven. That is where our true citizenship lies, Philippians 3:20 tells us. Yet in the midst of all that we face in this world, there is always hope in God. Even as the enemy has come to, he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. Jesus came that we may have life abundantly, abundant life, here and now. That we may have joy in the midst of hard times, peace to overcome our anxieties, and strength to persevere through the most difficult of days. In the midst of every situation you face, every circumstance, are you faithful to God? Here we learn that we must share. We must share the deepest concerns of our heart with God. He cares more than you will ever know, more than anyone else on this planet. No one cares for you like God. Share your concerns with him. Ask him your questions, but do it with the right heart. A heart that has put his faith fully and his faith and trust fully in the Lord. A heart that understands God is our only hope. Yes, he wants to give me more understanding. And so I ask him questions. I seek his word to find out what this is all about. But through it all, my trust, my hope is fully in the Lord. I trust fully in his word. Finally, in verse 88, the psalmist finishes with his trusting fully in God and his powerful word. Look there, verse 88. In your steadfast love, in your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Here the psalmist talks about his trust in God and his word. He recognizes that God is with him. He understands that one of God's attributes is his steadfast love. As Lamentations 3:22 states, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. You see, the understanding that God is with us gives us the strength and hope to endure all that we face in this life. You see, the road we walk through this in this life is full of pain. It's full of suffering. God is rescuing us. He's rescuing us from the bondage that we were once held in. We don't struggle like the world struggles any longer. We don't even mourn those who die like those in the world. Everything has changed. Through faith in Christ, we begin to experience our true purpose in life. We begin to experience that this is not just one of mere existence. God offers us a life of abundance and fullness. A life whose ultimate end is rewarded with eternity. to be in a new perfect world with a new perfect body, living in God's presence forever. But if we didn't have understanding, didn't have this understanding that God is with us through the whole journey, we would find life unbearable and the path too hard to walk. Jesus knew this. He came living in his life, being fully man, and revealing his divine nature, being fully God. He understands us. He knows how hard it is to walk in this world as a child of God. And he knew this. When he gave us his mission and he commanded us to fulfill it in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples, at the end of that, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Never loses. Never forsakes us. The psalmist points out two very important gifts that we can count on throughout our lives to learn. Two of the very many. But here's two. God's loving presence and his word. By his grace, we are able to walk through this life with these two great gifts to help us persevere to the end. And when we God's steadfast love that would give the psalmist life. This life to persevere. God's love is always with us. He's always for us. His love is unconditional. Then he loves us in spite of our mistakes. As Romans 5:8 states, when God shows his love toward us and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How amazing is that? God withheld what we deserve and gave us what we don't deserve. Life. In our human mind, it's so hard for us to truly wrap our mind and grasp how much God loves us. Because none of us can imagine giving up on our children for even the best of another person. Even the best of you. You can imagine pouring out the wrath of all of our sin on your own son. That's how much God loves you. And then his powerful word is living in in our lives that holds the truth by which we live by it, guides us through life, and gives us understanding and direction. Jesus states in John 17:17, when he's praying for his followers, he says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Without truth, where do we stand? How can we move forward? How can we stand against the pressures of this world? Without his truth, how can we know which direction we need to go? How do we know what is false and part of the evil one's desire or scheme to kill, steal, and destroy our lives? The psalmist was able to stand strong in the face of overwhelming pressure because he always found hope in God. Because of God's loving presence in his life, he was motivated to always obey his word. He was motivated to always seek God in his word. God's love sustains us and empowers us and compels us to obey his word. These two amazing gifts give us the strength to press on to the end. The end of our lives here on earth, which is actually only the beginning of our eternity in his presence, the presence of our loving God. We may want to give up and give into the overwhelming pressures that we face in this life, but as we meditate on God's love, as we grow and understand more about him and his word, we see that he's at work in the midst of it all. That he's doing a work in our lives, even when faced with the most difficult things. Now, some of you are studying different things this morning in Sunday school. But if you were studying what the men were studying about Daniel, being thrown into the lions, not only was he looking out for Daniel, but he follows that up with the king, sharing with the whole world. They need to serve and worship the one true and the true God. So in the midst of all the struggle that Daniel's had to face, the persecution, being thrown in the lion's den, being saved by God, being delivered from that, in the midst of all those hard circumstances, God was working in a way that he could never have expected to spread his glory around the world. We may want to give up, but we need to understand that God is in work in the midst of all of this that we're facing. Spurgeon didn't come up with this idea on his own. That these hard times teach us many precious lessons which we would never learn by any other means. James chapter 1, 2 through 4 points the same thing. Points out the same thing. He gives us great reason for finding joy and hope in the midst of these difficult times. He said, count it all joy, our brothers, when you meet trials and weary times. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This is a marriage verse. See, the unseen blessing in the midst of trials is God empowering us to go through these things in order to learn valuable lessons that help us live life to the fullest. God instills in us this spiritual maturity that is only born out of trial and adversity. That's the way it comes. A spiritual maturity that gives us the ability to face this world full of God's joy, peace, His power is strength. That's what he's talking about here. That you would be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That when you go through these things, hey, you can find some joy in it because God is at work in the midst of it, and he's going to bring out something really good. There's always hope in the Lord. No matter what you're facing, there is always hope in the Lord. But as children, we must also recognize that we need his help. And he alone offers us the help we need to get through this life and minister to others who are in the same place we're in, who are in need. Having our faith and trust fully in him, we must honestly share the deepest concerns of our heart, asking those questions that you have, knowing that he cares deeply about you, knowing that he wants to bring out those good things in our lives. God has two amazing gifts that help us endure to the end the most difficult of times, his steadfast love. His steadfast love is always with us and always for us. His love never ceases. His mercies are new every single morning. His powerful word is true, by which we live our lives by. His foundational for finding hope and peace and joy. As the worship team comes, who or what do you seek for help? Do you recognize that you need God's help? Where does your trust lie? Are you willing to share your heart with God, trusting that he knows best? That maybe some of the things that you're facing, that God, the good that he's going to bring out of that, is your spiritual maturity, so that you can have joy in life and not be filled with anxiety, depression, struggle and chaos. Are you willing to share your heart and trust that God knows best? Are you relying on God's steadfast love? And have you fully put your faith in the Word of God? So that the end of our times comes, you say, I'm not going to abandon your Word. I'm going to live according to your Word because I want to honor you. I'm not afraid of man. I'm not trying to make man happy. I want to please you. My trust is fully in the Lord. I'm not going to respond to those in the world. I'm going to respond to the child of God. Is your trust and hope fully in the Lord?